Let us pray. Blessed God, eternal goodness, righteousness, and truth forever, blessed you are, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant to us that pure and holy Spirit, that our hearts may be right with your law written on them, that the inspiration of our thoughts may be true and all our ways truly righteous. Pour down your Spirit that we might be lifted up into your presence, that we might dwell in the righteousness and live forever, bathed in your truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. We will be reading verses 6 through 9. In the Blue Bible, you can find this on page 586. In the Red Bibles, on page 745. Hear God's word. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation."
He is risen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. Yes, I said Matthew, not Luke. The 28th chapter. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 1. Listen, this is God's holy, inspired word. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. It is hard to find fulfillment if you don't know what you're looking for. And do you know that marketers are counting on the fact that you don't know what you're looking for? And so, corporations spend literally billions of dollars trying to inform you what it is that you should seek and run after. And in this passage, with no cost to you, God tells you where you will find your fulfillment. It will be in Him and nowhere else ultimately. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, we are told here, they come to the tomb and they come to do that to fulfill an obligation. You had an obligation to care for the dead. They come to the tomb with the expectation of being able to fulfill that duty. They do not come with the expectation that there would be a vacancy in the tomb. They come expecting to find Jesus' body, but not Jesus. They came with one expectation, but they surely left with another. Is that not true for us who come this morning? That we come for a variety of reasons and out of different expectations, but I declare to you today that you have an opportunity to meet the risen Christ, the one in whom the tomb could not constrain Him. Many of you came with little expectation, but at least you came. You notice the men in the story? Where are they? They're sleeping in. They're on the golf course. I don't know what kind of sports they played in Jesus' day. And so the men that are here, we're doing better than the disciples did to encounter the living Lord Jesus, who is the Christ. But if truth be told, we come with many motivations. Some of us, we're not really sure why we came. Some of us came out of family obligations to father, mother, children, whatever. I know, I've been there. And then we'll go on to commit the sin of gluttony very shortly. But this morning, why waste your time here? Instead, realize that Jesus invites you to meet Him as the risen one, the victorious one. You notice the women, when they come to the tomb, when do they come? They come on the first day of the week. Do you know what day that is? Sunday. Too many Christians have bought into the secular lie that Monday is the first day of the week. We don't get to define time. God does. God says this is the first day of the week. Because Saturday was the old Sabbath. That was the seventh day of the week. Some people say that this is actually the eighth day because it begins a new era of redemption. It's very interesting. I think it's important that we notice that they come on the first day of the week. What do? The first day of the week, they serve the Lord. And when do they do it? After breakfast or after lunch? It seems to say that even before dawn happens, they're on their way to the tomb. They are eager. Jesus is a priority for the women, even after He's died. Now, Jesus had told them time and time again that He's going to raise from the dead, but they go there with no faith in that. Now, I'm not criticizing the Marys. At least they went. The guy, like I said, the guy stayed at home. They didn't even go. At least they go. Did you come seeking Jesus today? So Easter challenges us to meet the risen Christ. That's the point. It isn't the dinner afterwards. You do that any day of the year, in theory. It says that when the women left, that they left with fear and joy. They were filled with fear and joy. Now, this joy is not conditional upon things that happened during the day for them, but became a foundation for who we are in Christ because He has risen. The Easter experience gave the women both fear and joy. It may seem strange to us. Fear and joy don't seem to go together in the way that we commonly use the term. But the biblical idea of fear and joy is different. Because we think fear is about being afraid. And that's part of the biblical definition, I believe. It actually is. It's part of it. But it means more than that. It means having reverence and awe and respect for God above everything and everybody else, because He alone is holy. And we think that joy is equivalent or equal to happiness, but that is not the biblical idea. Happiness is how you feel at a moment. Joy is your permanent state of relationship before the God of the universe. Despite your circumstances, circumstances do not determine whether you have joy or not. Joy is a gift of God imparted to you no matter what it is that you're going through. And so they leave having encountered this angel with both fear and joy. I think there's a lack of joy in our culture. I don't know if it's just when you get old you get gloomier or things have actually changed. I think things have actually changed. There is a gloominess on people's faces in general that I don't remember from my childhood. And that is in the church equally as it is in the culture. And that is the greatest shame, because if you're a Christian, you have the joy of the Lord, and we are called to let that out and let that shine. It's interesting to me that some who carry the most burdens around express the most joy in life. Because why? They are trusting in the Lord. They know there's no one else and nothing else to trust in. And in Him they know that they have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I'm afraid that far too many Christians do not fear God and have little joy. Easter invites to reclaim great fear and tremendous joy. Fear, understanding that God is almighty, and joy, that His intentions for you are good. We have far too little of this in the church today. Reverence is almost completely lacking, even in worship. We come in here having thought little about the worship we will offer and thinking about many other things, right? We half participate in the service and think that that's doing pretty good, because usually we're lucky if we get 10% of the way there. We will chat with people before and after, and sometimes during the service. But will not offer a verbal word of praise to God in song, some of us? What? We might readily talk about the concept of God, but will not fall before Him in confession of our sins. And all of this thinking that God really doesn't care, this is a lack of holy fear. To not participate in worship is a lack of holy fear. You have been constituted, created for this purpose. To not do it is to not recognize Christ is the risen one. So do you seek the living Lord today? Now, there's an angel when the women get there. It says there's an earthquake and there's an angel. And sometimes I think in our culture we think that everyone's got their buddy angel and angels are all around and it's just a commonplace thing. But in the Bible that is not the case. Angels are an extraordinary piece of the revelation of God. They are rare. And this angel, I just love this image. I don't know. Now the Bible doesn't give us these details, but this is just how I imagine it in my mind. So don't take this as truth, but you see the angel, it says he's sitting on top of the rock. And this, I think he's like this. Oh, you think you've come to attend to the dead body of Jesus? He's not here. You just wonder if the angel was laughing in joy at that point. Because they didn't. You know how when you know something really good and really sweet that someone else would love to know but they don't know and you get to tell them. It's a joyful thing. This angel had a great privilege. He's not here. He is risen. It says, interestingly, that the guards shook like dead men because they were unbelievers. This message was not for them, but the women. He says, do not be afraid. It's a wonderful reality. The women, when they have this encounter with the angel, they hurry off in this fear and joy with the purpose of telling others. Because if you've encountered the risen Christ, the only thing that you can do is to let that good news out. The world needs to know. The world that walks in darkness has seen a great light, and it must be proclaimed by us, by the church, by the people of God. The women didn't, they didn't form a committee. They didn't say, well, we need to form an evangelism committee to figure out how we're going to do the program of evangelism. What they did when they encountered Jesus is they went out and they spoke the word about Him to others. And He showed up then. And it happens the same, in much the same way today. If you would be confronted with the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, you would be set free from the deadness and live with greater joy. You would. If you would be confronted with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you would do away with your casualness with God, and in fear and in great joy, you would do what the women did. You would run to tell others that Jesus is not dead but alive. But the fact of the matter is that most of us fear man more than God. And so out of fear of man and what they might think, we choose not to share this good news. Let this not be the case with any of us today, because we know that He's alive. No, we can get this. It's hard for us to get the resurrection story right because we're not there and we don't encounter angels sitting on rocks very often, etc. You know, a lot of times at holidays, I think people go to the graves of loved ones. So imagine that you do that this afternoon and you go to the cemetery. And in the distance, you see the caretaker standing by your loved one's grave, and there's a big hole in the ground, and he yells out to you, "Hey, they're not here." What's your reaction? You're going to be ticked off. You're going to be angry like nothing. And then the caretaker says, "They've risen. They've gone on ahead to Eggington's. They said, meet you there." You would have fear and joy. You'd be like, "What in the world is going on? Could this be true?" Well, the women, I think at that point, knew that it was true, because they had spent enough time with Jesus to know that he did miraculous things. And that, though this may be harder to conceive of, when the angel meets them, they go. They believe not because they have great faith. They believe because they'd met Christ. Have you? If you're struggling with belief, it may be because you have not met Christ. Not really. The remedy to lack of joy is to meet Jesus. There is no other. You can't get joy in any other way. It's impossible. You can get happiness, but happiness, as we know, is fleeting. It is here today and gone tomorrow. It's here this minute and gone the next sometimes. So stop and think. I dare you. Do you fear God as you should? Do you carry the joy of the resurrection? Is it apparent in your life? As I said, some of us came today out of some type of obligation, thinking at best that we might hear an old story. But I exhort you in this first day of the week, on this Easter Sunday, to seek the Lord and discover that he is not dead but alive. He is risen. And fall before him in fear and joy and worship at his feet. And not just today, but for all of our lives, that we would give him the glory and the honor that is due his name. To be a Christian is to live with this fear and joy. The fear and joy that Jesus is not dead but alive. To the glory of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.